This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 9 minutes past 10 o'clock this evening on Power Perspective with myself, Thoriso Maloka, standing in for Sebenzile Nkambule. Now let's drive it back to a conversation that happened last week here on Power Perspective. Last Thursday, Sebenzile spoke, was in conversation and with founder and chairperson of a movement by a group of medical health practitioners who are fighting for racial profiling in the sector, or are fighting against racial profiling that is happening in the sector. Now, this is a group of black, colored and Indian health practitioners under the banner Solutionist Thinkers, and they're demanding that the council intervenes and puts an end to racial profiling in the sector. But here's an update. Now, the Council for Medical Schemes, you know, got in touch with us and said, nope. This can't be it. We need, let's create rather an objective platform where we can have a right to reply. And I completely agree with that, because then it provides, a holistic conversation. It provides a well-rounded conversation there and well-rounded perspective. And hence we are in discussion with John Letswalo this evening, who is the acting general manager for legal at the Council for Medical Schemes. John, thank you so much for joining us. A very good evening to you.
A very good evening, Thoriso, and your listeners on Power FM.
We absolutely we appreciate your time. And John, I'm going to ask you for the background for this particular group, that is the group of medical practitioners who have come forth and under the banner of Solutionist Thinkers and demanding that the council intervenes and puts an end to racial profiling. Can you take us back to, you know, if there was an approach to the Council for Medical Schemes, when was this particular approach and exactly what is the background of this occurrence?
No, thank you so much, Thoriso. I think, and I think you are hitting it quite correct to say, you know, what is the background? Because when the listeners, you know, hear this, they need to understand and have the two perspectives. Mm. So I think, you know, in a nutshell, Thoriso, is that between ourselves and Solution Thinkers, you know, there's been a lot of robust discussions, mostly pertaining to the contents of the interim report on the Section 59, which we had with them. And those discussions were between us and them. And there was a delegation which formed part of, you know, the technical colleagues from the CMS and also the technical colleagues from the Solution Thinkers. And I think
I'm going to ask you to break it down, and I do excuse me for interrupting there, John. When we talk about the technical solutionists or the technical teams, of exactly who are we talking about?
Yes, thanks. I think from our side as the Council for Medical Schemes, we had the stakeholder relations people. I was also part of it, being from the legal unit. Our registrar as well was part of the engagement. And also, you know, the executive manager in the office of the CEO was also involved in the process.
Happy.
So we brought, you know, a delegation which, you know, resembled a team which was able to deal with the issues that emanate from the Section 59.
Mm.
So, yeah, and they had, you know, their own delegation, which I believe, you know, were the relevant people which were supposed to discuss the issues with us. So I think maybe, Thoriso, let me start by saying we as CMS, we acknowledge, you know, the release of the interim report by Advocate Ngugai Dobie on the Section 59.
Mm.
And maybe let me take it further to say, when we met with them, I think the bone of contention from our side, Thoriso, and maybe for the listeners so that, you know, they can have context, was that if you look at, you know, the facts and the recommendations that are made in the interim report, you cannot read them separately, you know, from the entire report, because the entire report in its totality, it is an interim report. So regardless of whether, you know, the chairperson of the panel made recommendations to say within certain time frames, you know, certain steps have to be made by CMS, but we need to understand and accept that those recommendations still forms part and parcel of a report which is interim in nature. So what this means is Torriso, is that the rules of natural justice dictate that if there is a report which is interim, it means there are still parties, especially the affected parties, in this case being the medical schemes, you know, and some administrators who are affected by the interim or the content of the interim report. They have a right to still comment and provide input and potentially provide additional evidence on the interim report. And that is precisely, Torriso, to say people who are affected by that report must have an opportunity to comment on it. And thereafter, it means, you know, the panel will go back and consolidate those additional inputs and comments that they received. And based on the totality of the information before them, then produce what we call a final report, which we as the CMS, like any other stakeholder, you know, other regulators, we need to conform with. So from our side, our challenge was, and we did also take, look into the legalities of whether is an interim report enforceable, you know, is it binding? And in our view at the time, which is still our view currently now, is that the interim report, as it was said, it was still open for input and for comments. And based on that, we took a position that it will be quite premature for the CMS to take steps which are aimed at addressing the contents of a report which is interim in nature. Hence, there was no reference made by the CMS to the report with a view of any implementation thereof. But that does not mean, Torriso, that the CMS is not doing anything, surrounding the issues of the Section 59 issues. Number one, we also did highlight this in our discussions with, you know, the solutions thinkers to say, look, the Section 47 process of lodging complaints, regardless of whether they are Section 59 complaints, those are still open. Even the dispute resolution processes within the CMS are still operating as normal. So if, you know, any person or any provider or any practitioner has a complaint or a grievance against the medical scheme, they're still within the ambit of the Medical Schemes Act to submit a complaint which, you know, CMS would process in the normal course. So those are some of the issues that we discussed with them to say, look, pending the finalization of, you know, the final report, we as CMS, we cannot use a report which is interim as a source of reference when we are, you know, providing interventions in respect of the issues that we're dealing with. Because one thing is we are going to be challenged by the affected parties to say, how do you then rely on a report which is not final in nature, which it is still open for comments. So no. Those are some of, you know, the technical issues that we had engagements with them. And it was unfortunate that we were unable to find each other, you know, in those various discussions. And ultimately, as you know, they ended up, you know, protesting at our offices, which again, and I do accept, you know, we were there, you know, to listen to their grievances, to obtain the memorandum. And we are in the process of responding to some of those grievances that they've highlighted in their own memorandum. I think further than that, Torriso, you know, the other issue is, and this is something that we've always, you know, maintained, that look, the issue of the council not, you know, implementing some of the measures identified in the interim report is not because of a position that we take based on emotions, or maybe possibly, you know, we're taking that stance because of the party that we're dealing with. I think, you know, we are also guided by, you know, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, which is a piece of legislation which encompasses the conduct, you know, of any person within the Republic. And that a piece of legislation says to us as the CMS and to like everybody, you know, within the Republic, that you need to allow the other affected party an opportunity to be heard before you make a final report. And that is what, you know, the interim report seeks to achieve. So if you look at our conduct, Torres, you would see that we are also trying to follow the prescripts, you know, underpinning, you know, our also the constitutional democracy of the rights of all parties that are involved in this particular dispute. But, you know, we...
Noted. And Jonah, if I may there, you know, when you speak about all the parties involved, I'm very curious to ask a question around, because while members of Solutionist Thinkers and other medical practitioners have not only protested, but you know, have, I want to use the word claim, and I've carefully used the word claim, to be on the negative end of this particular bias that according to them has been applied by the various institutions or, you know, within the medical fraternity. When you speak about everyone that's impacted, they also, I don't, you know, patients and customers and clients, if I may, or medical aid holders who claim to have been in, you know, impacted by this as well, by way of, let's say a medical practitioner says, listen, I'm not, medical aid does not pay me out, and as a practitioner, and therefore I'm going to ask you to pay cash or whatever the case may be. What is the role of CMS in, is there, or rather does CMS hold a role in protecting all medical practitioners involved as well as the clients thereof? And just after you've answered that, John, we're going to go to Dr. Naira as well as Mbukana, because they would like to provide commentary on there. But does CMS hold a social responsibility of protection towards all medical practitioners, not just the schemes, but the, you know, the individual medical practitioners as well as the clients thereof? Just looking at the ecosystem here.
Yes. No. Thank you, Toriso. And I think that helps. And I think, you know, what we need to understand, Toriso, you know, and to the listeners, is that, you know, the Council for Medical Schemes, it is a public entity, but it is a creature of statute in terms of the Medical Schemes Act, and also, you know, the regulations that pertains to, you know, to how the structure of the CMS works. But again, there is no any form of compliance, you know, or enforcement that can be implemented by the CMS except in circumstances which are allowable or allowed by Section 59, that particular provision, and also Regulation 5 and 6. Those are the cornerstones within which CMS has to operate. And if you are going, you know, to go beyond, you know, the ambit to say social responsibility. Now the question begs, Toriso, does those relevant sections which, you know, provide CMS with the powers to deal with these disputes, are they inclusive of that element? And if it is, how is it included, and what are the definitive limitations, you know, of those powers? So what I'm trying to say, Toriso, is that the CMS, in a way, and which we accept as the CMS, is at times fundamentally hamstrung by, one, the wording and the structure and the powers that are bestowed upon the council by those particular provisions that I'm referring to.
And so, I want us to dig deeper into those provisions, John, if you may, because you know, we have a couple of medical practitioners on the line at the moment, and in applying those particular provisions, I don't want us to sort of approach it at a group assignment level. Maybe let's hear each case and see if there's each case will have its merits here. Mbutlana, good evening.
Good evening, Torres. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm well.
Mbutlana, please share in. I believe that you may have been blocked somehow or been banned from somewhat of a process. Can you take us through it?
Most of our Solutionist members have been blocked. Some have been experiencing indirect payment. The scheme will pay the patient. You render the service, but the scheme pay the patient directly so that the patient can come and pay you, which is unlikely to happen.
So, please help me understand. So you service the patient either way in anticipation for later payment?
Yes.
Okay.
But we had a robust march to the CMC, which was a week or so ago, because our complaint is one, the CNC is regarded as the father figure of all the medical aid. Now, investigation was done earlier on. I don't want to dwell much on it. John knows about it. Whereby an interim report came out citing that there is indeed racial profiling, whereby blacks and Indians are targeted. In which manner, you know, it's too sort of racial or political, maybe to such an to some extent, whereby when you are a black person or Indian, your practice progress, you are being regarded as a thief.
I hear you then, Budana. And I'm going to ask you to hold there. For a second, because I'd like for us to bookmark that. Mputlana, please don't go, because I want to double click on the regarding as a thief there, because I really want us to sort of break it down exactly what we mean by that. So if you can just bookmark there, and John, I'm going to ask you to just bookmark some of the comments that are coming forth. I'd like to go to Dr. Naira first. Dr. Naira, good evening.
Hello. Hi, good evening. It's Naira Beaker.
Hi, Dr. Naira. My apologies there.
No problem. As a healthcare service provider and as a member of the Solution of Thinkers Group, you know, we continuously face and confront on a daily basis this racial profiling. It's actually become so frustrated because we continue to see patients. We have been blocked by the medical aides. To date, they haven't found any fraudulent charges or erroneous billing, but they have blocked the practices. So it's really, really difficult to practice because we are victims of this. And patient files are demanded, raw data is demanded going back 3, 4, 5 years up to 2015. You know, and this extortion just continues without consideration that on a monthly basis we have monthly running expenses, we render services to patients, the claims are processed, however, there is no payment. This, we are calling on to the CMS to regulate this process. We just want a fair procedural audit to be in place. You know, it's extreme violation and racial profiling. As a healthcare professional, we certainly, as the Solutionist Group, we feel that we are honestly being victimized and we are deeply disappointed. So, you know, we are calling on the CMS to please step in and regulate.
Heard there. So that's and while we have Dr. Naira and Budlana there still on hold, we're going to take Dr. JP shortly. John, in just in respect of some of the sections that you were talking about and some of the applications, I mean, you know, Dr. Naira speaks about payments. So the similar way Budlana has been talking about payments in terms of some claims won't even be paid. And in the instance of, you know, the picture where Budlana has painted where, you know, there's an application of you will service a client, but you will not necessarily get provision back. How does CMS then support doctors and medical professions in general who do not receive IE payment in time? Does that not cripple the fraternity in itself?
No, thanks, Toriso. I think, you know, the main issue is that, and I think I've highlighted this in my opening when I said, look, I think the reason why we have the Section 59 investigation is because the contents of that section and the regulations were not, you know, meeting the needs of the providers and also the medical schemes, and there was a lot of procedural elements which were missing within Section 59 and Regulation 5 and 6. Hence, you know, a decision was taken, you know, to have an independent structure, which will then inform, one, the reforms and the gaps that exist within Section 59 and Regulation 5 and 6. Why this was done is because we wanted an independent panel to do that process without the CMS being seen, you know, as maybe trying to protect, you know, the schemes, or maybe potentially trying to protect the providers. Because what we wanted was a balanced approach, which in the one hand it protects, you know, the schemes, and also in the other hand it also protects the service provider, but at the centerpiece, it is the member of the medical schemes, which we think must not suffer, you know, depending on the conduct of either of the two competing interests between the medical schemes and the service provider. And again, Toriso, if you look at the findings of Nugaidovi in the report, you'll see that the panel suggests that there are gaps in that particular section of 59. There are also lack of reforms in terms of procedure. And that is what, you know, the previous doctor indicated, to say we want the support of CMS. But then how do you get the support of CMS? You get the support of CMS by putting in place provisions in the Act and in the regulations, which, one, provides regulatory powers for the CMS, and also provide certainty in terms of the rights of the particular parties. If you look at strictly at the provisions, I'm going to give, you know, a very high level example. For instance, if you look at Section 59(3), and you look at you know, number 8, it says where there is an amount which the scheme feels that they've paid in accordance with the Medical Schemes Act, and they've paid it to a member or a supplier, and they feel that that member or the supplier is not entitled to, they've got the power to deduct that amount. That's what the Act is saying.
And I want to ask a question right there, John. You know, before we go to Dr. JP, I want to ask a question right then. Perhaps then you can answer that at the back of what Dr. JP is going to provide there as well. That as a member of a medical aid scheme myself, there's been plenty of claims that, and you know, you use the word that, you know, when a scheme feels that they shouldn't pay, or when they feels that, you know, the member is not entitled to the entire amount, that is not adequately communicated as to what's the quantification method. And then I wonder, and I have inquiry to say, is it clear to the medical practitioners as well, especially when a client comes in, they get assessed for something, they get medicated for something, but they cannot claim for the overall amount? And John, please, if you can respond to that after Dr. JP. Dr. JP, good evening.
Good evening. Hello, Mama. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I tend not to agree with what Ndatelito always say. Section 59(3) spells out clearly, just before the Nugaidovi issue, It says that when the scheme acts on a practitioner, it must be done under the ambit of fraud, if there's fraud found on the practitioner, or if there is misconduct on the part of the practitioner, as well as maybe money is being paid by mistake to the practitioner when it was not intended for that, then can the scheme by all means take that money. That is what the law entails. But what the schemes have been doing, they've been abusing that Section 59(3) because they knew very well that they could get away with it, because they would come with other issues. But be as it may, I want to say something that I'm very disappointed with Mr. Letswalo. I have written to him. They have written to me before to say that I'm a respondent, and that they want to for me to explain to them my experiences about medical schemes. I wrote to them. I told them that I have a problem with CZWI medical scheme. Mm. That CZWI is abusing, is bullying me. It's abusing Section 59(3) when there are no reasons that they can provide why they are doing that. I even told them that, excuse me, what it has done, it has abused Section 59(3), and then went on to say that they are going to pay my the members monies for work that I have, provided to them. Mm. Now, I met with the members, and we said, let's put this to test. And it has been found that members were not even paid by CISO that money. We have signed members have signed a petition to say that they did not receive those monies that CISO said it has paid them. And there's a letter also that I sent to CMS of the members, their unions, AMCU unions, that said they were not happy with the way that CISO was operating in line against my practice. It's now going for three years.
Mm.
That they said they paid them, and yet they have not been paid so that they could, you know, reimburse me. I wrote to them on many occasions to ask that let us have a meeting with CISO and myself so that we can resolve this problem. I even wrote to Mr. Letswalo to say, Mr. Letswalo, are you saying that now that Section 59(3) is in place, Are you ceasing to be operational as a public entity, as a regulator that is supposed to be playing an oversight role in terms of curbing or nipping in the bud the things that are being wrong done to us by the medical scheme? He has not even responded back to me. I wrote to Tabani begging him for a meeting. He has not even responded to me. So, you know, this is very depressing. And, you know, one worked during the time of COVID. I was never even paid by CISO. The whole of 2019, I was never even paid.
Sure.
And I have asked the CEO, Dr. Mahanjan. Dr. Mahanjan told me that, no, the person who did all this, it was Dr. Mabuya. And Dr. Mabuya never responded to my emails where I said, what you're doing is not in fairness, because you are abusing Section 15. But the problem is that CMS is very biased. And both Mr. Letswalo stuck their heads in the sand. It's only now that we went on a march. Now they are responding to you as a PR review to try and cover their unethicality by trying to, you know, say that no, Section 59(3) has so many loopholes that have to be addressed. But ask him, why don't they deal with the issues that we're raising that are now happening to us now,
which are
painful?
Dr. Siku, let me go back to John there, and I do appreciate all the, not just the narrative, but the realities that are being shared here. And Dr. Letswalo, these are the lived realities of medical professionals in South Africa. There are far too many for any of us who can imagine these as imaginary problems. And I think for us as medical aid holders and medical aid members, for those of us that are our medical aid members who constantly have bills, I can't tell you how personally how many bills I've had, and the reasoning and the rationale that I receive back from my, you know, healthcare providers, it would be that medical aid does not cover that particular portion, where my understanding would have been, and their understanding as per their claim would have been, that something of that nature would be covered. How does CMS support medical practitioners such as Mbutlana, Dr. Nera, and Dr. Siku, who are being, you know, not being paid as they should, whose claims are being completely ignored, who are undergoing bullying by certain medical aid schemes? And I completely understand that, you know, the response here from CMS is that this is an interim report, but in the interim, there are doctors and there are medical professionals that are being abused. How is CMS responding to that?
Yes, no, thank you, Tori. So and it's quite unfortunate, you know, that, you know, it has taken so long for us to get here and be in a position, you know, to have an independent structure that looks at the, you know, the section and the regulation. But I think, Tori, so what you need to understand is, and some of the listeners need to understand, is that ultimately the CMS has to do what is allowed in terms of this particular legislation. There is nothing else that CMS can do.
But it sounds like it's open to interpretation, Ms.
Torres, I'm still coming to that.
Mm.
If if you are taking the time and you go through the court rulings of the CMS, you'll find a plethora of cases on Section 59, many that have been given, a lot by service providers on many, many, many grounds. Mm. And the appeals committee is an internal dispute resolution process. They've attempted to address and to provide clarity in terms of what Section 59 says.
Mm.
Even the appeal board, our own internal appeal board, has tried in many occasions to say, what does Section 59 mean? What does it not mean? So it's not a matter of saying, there has not been anything that has been done on Section 59. There is an archive on most of these cases that are well documented within the CMS, where the internal dispute mechanisms of CMS have voiced their opinion on what Section 59 means. In certain cases, the medical scheme would be successful. In certain cases, the practitioner would be successful. But depending on the interpretation of the particular structure at the time.
Mm.
So we cannot say, these issues are outside CMS and CMS has not done anything to address them. I mean, for instance, even if there is an issue of interpretation or bullying, or racial profiling or issues of algorithms or coding or billing, whichever the issue may be. But that, Toriso, cannot circumvent the application of the Medical Schemes Act. The Act says when you've got a dispute which concerns this particular legislation, you need to lodge a complaint with the CMS. And what needs to happen, there is a set of processes that then allows the CMS to interrogate the complaint and to be able to process it so that whichever the affected party is there, they are able to be given an opportunity to be heard. I mean, for instance, if I say, to one of the doctors, Onyo, if you are correct or you are not correct, I mean, it wouldn't be a natural justice, because the other party will not even have an opportunity to say, this is my side of the story. Hence, the Act requires people to follow the normal process of lodging official complaints so that we're able to process them. You see, Torres, if one of the doctors, which there was an issue which we dealt with in the past, which we're still dealing with, where a medical practitioner would lodge a complaint in terms of Section 47, then the CMS would rule in favor of that practitioner.
Please allow me. From what Dr. Siko has just presented in terms of a letter, isn't that a complaint?
He's telling a lie.
What Dr. Siko has presented or delivered as in a form of a letter and asking
I've
for
done
aid,
that many
is that
times.
Not
He's
a complaint?
Lying.
Is that not a lodge complaint?
Toriso. I'm not talking to a specific issue of what the doctor said. I'm giving you a synopsis of circumstances that we deal with.
And I appreciate that. And I'm just saying that, can we please mirror that to a case study?
Sorry, Toriso, can I come in? Because I want to make, okay. I want to present a clarity here. Toriso, I'm going to say some things. In 2015, I presented a complaint to CMS. There was a ruling that was put in place. That ruling, when CMS was supposed to act on it, it did not act on it. And it was left hanging for the past 6 years, right? So when I tried to complain, there was a huge pushback on me. In 2019, I followed the same process that Mr. Lotsoli is saying. I wrote to the appeals committee. They said to me they will come back after 3 days. Even today, this matter of CISO, it has never seen the dawn of the light. So he's just trying to be very economic with words. He knows very well I've done all these things that he's saying. He can go and check at his senior,
okay.
Kabani, and the appeals board people. I've written appeals to them, reminding them many times.
Dr. Sikwam, I'm going to take another call now, but I just need you to please clarify. So what's the difference between what's just been presented by Dr. Sikwam and what you're mentioning as Section 49? But I'm just going to take a quick call from Anonymous. Anonymous, good evening.
Hi, ma'am. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Thanks.
Yes, please.
I beg your pardon. Yeah, I'm just listening to what you guys are talking about this evening, and I just thought I should just share my own, story exactly what's happening regarding Caesar Medical Aid.
Yes, please.
So my father is one of the founders of the medical aid, and it was sold to, the remaining shares that was sold, and he just feels as though there wasn't a proper audit at the time of sale to figure out exactly how much the remaining shares were sold were worth. So, yeah, I just wanted to maybe find more clarity regarding that, if there is any way to establish how much the shares are worth at the time of sale, because apparently they sold the first set of shares to NUMSA, if I'm not mistaken, and the rest of the shares, we're not too sure who they were sold to. Well, I'm not too sure, but yeah, I think it will possibly be sold to, the members, the directors. The certain directors were, the shares were sold to the directors. So I just wanted to find out, regarding the shares that were sold, how much were they before the time of sale? The founders are really complaining that, it wasn't worth much.
Okay. Anonymous,
it was
1.4
million exactly.
Thank you. That's anonymous there. I'm not sure if that's an issue that can be aided here. But anyway, I'm going to bring it back to the table. And just before I go back to Dada John, then, please can I come back to Mbutlana just to get some closing remarks, and then I'll go back to John.
Okay. Hi, Thoriso.
Hi, Mbutlana.
Let me put it in perspective. Look, John and company from the legal department of CMS, they are failing us from top to bottom. Gaban and company, they are failing us. They are now coming out of their cocoon because we marched to the CMS. Their silence has been so loud for so many months. Now that we marched to them, they are now trying to use some form of defense mechanisms, which we're not going to allow, and which we feel as members of Solutionist that these guys are not delivering on their mandate. The CMS mandate is to regulate. Regulate whom? The medical schemes.
I hear you. Mbutlana and Dr. Nira and Dr. Sikwam, unfortunately, we are going to have to go. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I appreciate your time. I do wish we had longer for this particular conversation. John, if you can respond to all the queries that have been put to the table here, and just, the discrepancy between a letter that's being delivered via query, how's that different from Section 49?
No, thank you, Teresa, and thank you for the other colleagues. I think there is an official complaint form in terms of Section 47, which the other doctor indicated, and he indicates that there was a ruling which the CMS, made in terms of 47. I think what he failed to highlight was whether the ruling was in favor of the scheme or in his favor. And I think what also doesn't make sense for me, and I think this is something that we can go back and look at, is he confirmed that there was discussions with the appeals committee. So I'm not sure why, if there was a ruling under 47, he would want to interact with the appeals committee. That could potentially also mean that ruling was appealed. Unfortunately, I don't know by whom, because the only way you can make contact with the appeals committee as a result of a Section 47 ruling is only when one of the aggrieved parties has lost an appeal. So hence, I'm also not clear in terms of the sequence of events, but I think these are issues which we could go back and have a look at them and say, look, why, what happened? Mm. Why has this not been cleared in some form of way? But we can accept, furthermore, that yes, there has been complaints. there's been backlogs in terms of how, you know, CMS moves in terms of the case management, in terms of the cases that we have. But I think these are issues that we're going to correct and find measures in place.
I hear you, what John. Unfortunately, we can just do this in the last 30 seconds, please.
What I'll appeal to the medical practitioner is that there are reforms that are coming that emanate from the Section 59 investigation report. We are interacting with the other regulators, HPCSA and the others. We are going to reform this particular provision so that all this conduct that medical practitioners are complaining about, when we've got the amendment, hopefully things are going to be better and there's going to be some form of balance and respect among medical schemes and also medical practitioners. That is an aim that we as CMS, we want to see shortly so that there is some form of justice for all the medical practitioners in the Republic.
And I hope you get to resolution for all parties involved. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, John. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Toriso. And thank you to the colleagues and to the listeners. Good night.
That is John Letswalo, who is the Acting General Manager for Legal at CMS, that is the Council for Medical Schemes. I do need to apologize going to the next conversation that we are running, that we ran a little bit over time, but that is, you know, just in nature of trying to provide a platform for those that had complaints. My most sincere apologies. An exciting conversation still coming up nonetheless. Patience Molepo on Twitter, in response to the previous conversation, saying, "I find as a patient, we're also affected by the battle between medical practitioners and medical aid schemes. Many times as a patient, you think a claim has been processed only to find that the doctors call you and say you owe them. We are caught in the middle and have not much leg to stand on." Patience, I am going to share.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.